so good. Okay.
In Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, you have another encounter with the toilet ghost, but instead it's like more romantic.
No.
Yeah.
You cannot, Lydia.
It's
I love you.
I know.
Don't get romantic with the toilet ghost.
My point about this whole scene is not the fact that Mr. Togo looks like a schlub. It's more, and apparently he's a country singer, so maybe that's the wrong thing to
say. Mutton chops, and I would give him a degree 5 out of 10 face.
The other important thing about this scene is that all of these girls show their attributes or their assets. Melody's playing a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Kung Fu, like, bats a ball away, like, mm-hmm. with expert precision.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet is blowing bubbles. Mac is eating something, and they're like, because she's the fat one. She's the chunk. What is it, Jen, you said? You said that she was the chunk.
The chunk.
Chunk, yeah.
Chunk from Goonies.
Goonies.
Yeah. I mean, okay, say what you will, but Mac rules.
She's great. She's great. She only has like one character development. It's like, I just want to be able to eat. I mean, I'm anxious.
Same.
I eat.
Same.
Yeah.
Sean would like it noted that Mac is not named after Big Mac, but is named after Stomach.
Stomach. Yeah, they mentioned that in the movie. I recognized it this next time.
I was asking why.
Dumb.
And I was mentioning to you, Fanta and Mac should get together and have a little baby happy meal.
I love you, Jen, but I hate that so much. I love you so much.
Can I be honest? If I were to make this kind of a movie nowadays, like, it would be more about like teenage girls recognizing that maybe they weren't attracted to men and maybe they just wanted to slough off the expectations of society.
Not a reverse harem, but just a harem without no dudes.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily even a harem. If they're, you know, it would be like they would all just, because that's the thing about this, these characters is they all do different things, because women can be anything. They could be kung fu artists. They could be musicians. They can be, you know, professors. They can be gorgeous. They can be, you know, overweight.
Okay, but like the issue is, and I don't know if I'm using this correctly, so feel free. I'd love to be corrected. You know how I like to be corrected. Degrade me, Jen. No, not really. I'd hate that. I really would be scared. It's all through the male gaze.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it weird.
Right.
Like, all of it would be fine. Like, I don't mind. I love, in fact, strong female characters, but all of them are what do these
specific men
mm-hmm.
see in these specific girls who are specifically teenagers. Like, I cannot tell you how infuriating it is when women are infantilized as teenagers, but then our media just kind of focuses in on just that aspect. Do you know why Tina Turner is great? Because she made herself known in her 50s. She was like a middle-aged woman. She made herself known, and like, she was always really good at dancing. She was always really good at singing, but she kept up with that even into the middle of her life. And she is like, I mean, like, and again, she's like, she's a woman of color. So there's like this whole aspect, and I say this as a white woman, where, you know, she's kind of praised in the middle, you know, towards the middle to end of her life. But she is still praised during that. And like, we don't really see a lot of representation. So the next time that you hear a black woman talk about the fact that black women are like, you know, spearheading this specific area of like media or culture, shut up and listen to them, because it happened with Tina Turner. And then you see it also happening with Lizzo. And Lizzo's like around our age group.
I love me some Lizzo. Yeah. She freaking gets TikTok. Lots of people don't, but she got it.
Mm-hmm.
She gets it real good.
So, I mean, trying to get down off of my soapbox. But it's still
two
like
soapboxes.
It's still like, you know, it's so frustrating to see that these are teenage girls and they're being put through the gate, like through what men see as teenage girls.
Yeah. Okay. So, jumping back, you see me? Toot toot, getting back on the track. We haven't gotten to exposition station.
I totally got
yet.
Us off track.
No, I'm with you. Okay. So, Togo's sister's house is off the plate, right? So then, because poof poof, Gorgeous shows up and she's like, I'm totally despondent. My whole life is asunder. I just can't. Fuck you, Gorgeous. But also she walks in and she's like, we can stay at my aunt's house. And they're like, really? And she's like, yes, totally. That sounds super cool. That sounds super cool. Super awesome. Right? And then she promises all of them. Then she goes home and writes a letter to her aunt. Like, I'm not a good planner. In terms of my friends group, I am not the person who makes the spreadsheet, but I do make a phone call. I do go online and make a reservation. I am not quintessential in this department, but I do not promise your premises without contact.
I always thought that it was like she had, back when she was, you know, being angry at her dad, she wrote a letter to her aunt saying, hey, aunt, I never really talked with you till now, or like we visited only once.
There was no indication of that.
Right. Not, not
she
before
talks to them.
Right.
Then she goes home and writes a letter. It's like, auntie, I wish to go back and be with you like you were close to my mother. I would like to go to your place. Please respond quickly. She goes back and she puts the letter in the mailbox. And then she's like, I hope this happens for me. And then she walks away and then walks back, it feels like. And then she looks in the mailbox and there's no response. And she's like, too bad. And then the cat is like, wah! Which, okay, fair. And then she turns around and there's a response in the mailbox. And she's like, the response is like, oh, grandniece, I just can't wait for you to come to visit me on the mountain. I love your mother and I love you. And I've been waiting all this time. Come visit me, gorgeous.
And the whole, the thing you should know about the cat is that she's this white fluffy cat whose name is Blanche.
I love Blanche so much.
So, you know that TikTok trend where they're like, show me the baby from The Mandalorian? That's what I think every time. Yes. I see Blanche.
I love every, and Blanche is never wrong.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if she's a murderous feline. They all are.
I mean, that's true. Anybody who's owned a cat knows that they're about to get clawed out in their sleep or their cats will eat their eyeballs. Though, what is it? Caitlin Dordery, the lady who hosts the YouTube channel, Ask a Mortician. I love her. She actually
missed the last one. What did she say?
Well, it wasn't on the last one, but she actually wrote a book, which I have yet to read, called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? And she says, no, not unless they don't have anything else. So this is why it's good to have outdoor pets and make sure you let them out before you have heart attacks. Sorry.
I'm not going to have that option, but at least we have four sets of eyes for three sets of eyes for the cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
is this when we see the flashback to her whole aunt's backstory?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. Do you want to?
You
want to speed round? I will speed round you into the next bit. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So she promises her aunt place, and then magic mailbox. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we cut to, is this a musical?
Oh yeah, because we got the guy and his daughter shining shoes.
I think
doing
I'll go for a walk outside now. That magical cat's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't wait to get onto this train because all of these teenagers in Japan are insane.
This is like right outside Mr. Togo's house, and he actually
he sings with a lady of the night, like along with the lyrics of the song.
He's walking down the stairs, and Blanche like comes down and is like, wham!
When
he's
best just character. Sort of like, Blanche is the best. Blanche
and so
best.
He like falls down the stairs. He gets his butt stuck in a bucket. And so he like, and you see this great stop motion where he's coming down and he's like, oh.
Is it great, Lydia?
Yes, it is great.
Is it great?
It is great.
Why is it great?
Because it's stop motion.
Does it feel good?
It actually does, because there are other moments where you see this kind of like stocky film rate going through where it feels like it's probably not actually stop motion. Probably isn't stop motion.
No, you're right. It is. It's very, so, yes. It's scene by scene. It is cell by cell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Jen?
Hard Day's Night is how I'd, or Monkees.
Yeah, it's very much Monkees. I was a Help, the Beatles movie, not the Help.
Beatles doing the Help.
No, that would be a different one. No. Help was my Beatles movie. I haven't watched Hard Day's Night. But I very much feel like it. I watched a ton of the Monkees though, and that very much has that feel, but it seems so cut from what we've watched before just now.
Have you ever gotten your butt stuck in a pail?
My butt's too big to get stuck in a pail.
One of my weight loss victories, my non-scale. Okay, I had, and you can talk to me on the social medias about this, but I had weight loss surgery. And one of my non-scale victories was turning a bucket over and plopping myself down on it as a seat and not dying. So, no, I haven't got my butt stuck in a bucket, but I've sat on a bucket and felt successful. And that's why I'm mad at him.
Would you call it a butt kit?
It was on my butt kit list.
I mean, at some point, they got a kid who's like drumming on it, which is like,
is it on the phone or whatever?
Yeah. So like it cuts after he gets his butt in the bucket that it goes to the train station. They're like, where's Mr. Togo? I don't know where Mr. Togo is.
So
where's
Gorgeous? They all cut off this guy who's trying to say goodbye to his girlfriend. He's like, I guess you guys can go ahead of me. And then like five more people butt in front of him. And then she's like, I don't know if you noticed, but his girlfriend's like, goodbye. And then he's all like, and she like shrugs her shoulders and walks onto the train.
Yeah.
She's like, sorry, guy. And then, okay, so now we pull into Exhibition Station.
Woo!
exposition, not exhibition. Like exhibition, exposition station.
I didn't get to say my joke.
What's your joke?
Oh, but it's too far gone now.
Okay,
go back.
We've never retreated
before. Go for it.
Mr. Togo's Wild Ride.
That doesn't happen until later.
My note about Mr. Togo is the misadventures of Mr. Togo.
Is Mr. Togo's an ass? I like how you're not refuting that. Okay. They get on the train and then it like weirdly like they all climb on. They're like, oh, gorgeous. Blah, blah. Oh, Blanche, the cat's there all of a sudden. Perfect sense. And then they're like crowd in and then like Mac is eating food because of course. And then like,
she's the fat one.
Oh my God, she has food. And I'm like, that's my favorite person. The person with food when we're going on a journey. If you bring out a sandwich, I'm like, yeah, I want a sandwich.
Can I have some?
And if you have two sandwiches, Mac, I want one.
She probably does.
She literally has two sandwiches in her hands and offers one to Blanche because she's a superior character in nearly every way.
Gonna remember that when Kung Fu really comes out later. Anyways.
Okay, so now we're in Exhibition Station. Exposition Station. Woo! She's like, let me tell you about my mother and my auntie. Because she waits until the last minute, of course. And then they're like, we cut to a black and white. All right. And there's so much to cover. And here's the thing. I've watched it twice now. I still don't care.
Right. Essentially, the backstory on her aunt is that her aunt wanted to get married.
He's a physician who could juggle in the World War II.
And but then war happened.
He didn't come back from the war, and she swore she would wait for him. But then her little sister got married.
Essentially.
But the girls are all swooning over it all stupid. Like,
oh, he's so cute. Oh, he's so handsome. And to be fair, the guy who's playing the fiance,
he is a smoke show.
Yeah. Like when they brought out Mr. Togo, I was like, and he's supposed to be the heartthrob? No.
No,
he's not.
No.
It's the fiance.
Yeah, but he dead, though.
He dead, though.
Okay, but then like... But then, like, they cut to some food they're going to eat together before he actually ends up dead. And Mac's like, that looks delicious. So they're, like, looking at the film as if it was a film as opposed to being a story that they're being told in front of this window that's even bigger than the window that they're at in the train. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
And so then the auntie and the guy go to kiss. And then the film burns up. The sister, the mom gets married. And then it's like, that's what happened. And then it's over.
Right. And then by this point, they're no longer on the train. They're just getting off the bus.
So now, that's what I hate. They're on a weird bus.
So it's like for an entire trip, Gorgeous is like saying to all of them, this is the story that happened to my aunt. And this is why she doesn't leave the house because we learned that later. Sorry. But like she was going to get married and like.
Yeah. War story feels like a bit like Mulan, but it's totally not, wrong era. And then also the H-bomb and it looks like cotton candy. What is this movie, Lydia?
It's not. Okay. So like throughout the entire backstory, these teenage girls are not taking it as being as serious as it is. Essentially, it's a backstory of a woman who had her life ahead of her. And because of World War II, everything changed, you know, kind of like how everything changed for Japan after World War II.
Yeah.
Half of a Sean fact for you.
Half of a Sean fact.
And I don't want to. There's some other thematic spoilers in the second part of this. I'll just say that Obayashi, the director, was born in Hiroshima.
Makes sense. So late, basically,
he lost all of his childhood friends.
Really?
So everything changed after America attacked.
And I might be out of place, but like then, and in ways that I've observed, Japan became a little obsessed with America for a while.
Well, and it also seemed to like you see that mushroom cloud in a lot of media, like a lot of media. So there's a YouTuber by the name of Sean. You know, you get the right YouTuber when he has just the skull as his icon. And he did a video about dropping the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he pretty much says that the war was over at that point. So we didn't actually need to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was mostly to let the entire world know that, hey, America, we're a superpower now. Or like it was some like that inside the government. Like it was completely unnecessary. We literally traumatized. I mean, well, to be fair, as Americans, that's kind of our legacy. Traumatizing an entire, you know, culture in an effort to show our dominance. Yay, America.
No, you're not wrong. When Jen and I have set up our rules for how we're allowed to argue, I refer to, look, I have forever said that Jen is allowed to divorce me. but that you're not allowed to say that you want to divorce me in the middle of an argument. That's a different conversation. Like, you can tell me to f*** off, for sure. But if you want a divorce, that is a different conversation. It has to be away from volatile anger. Hey, that's good advice for you plotters if you're having a conversation with somebody that you love, an argument with somebody that you love. But the fact that I call it the D-bomb is because of the H-bomb, you know? Also, conversely, there was a guy in high school who asked me to edit his paper on this book we read about Hiroshima. And he was like, he got mad at me because I had like a red pen and I went through, and admittedly, he was ESL and he was like a Russian guy. And he was just like, you know, that bomb we dropped on China. And I was like, my guy, we just read an entire book. It happened in Japan. And he was like,
you're not allowed to get angry if you don't know who we're killing. Come on. That's like, no.
Okay. Like, how are we going to power through this, Lydia?
Okay.
First of all, you can't get mad if we don't know who we're killing. It should be the theme for the rest of this movie because we're only page one of my notes and I know we have to go fast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So basically, they get off the bus
in front of a weird vignette painting thing in front of the actual mountains.
They start trudging up to the village, which is a bit of a trek. They go over this like bridge over a river or
yes,
stream.
And then we family.
And then we have the family for the full house.
The full house moment.
So Jen, I think this is where you want to.
A hand to hold on to. I don't know more than that. Sorry.
Step by step, day by day. I don't know any more of that song. Well, I was just going to try my darndest to read a description of what they are all about in, you know, a half a sentence, and then try really hard on the actresses' names. So here's where we get these little vignette.
They're like these circles that are plastered over the scene that we're seeing, and they're the faces of each of the characters, and they're all by name.
Yeah. So we get Fanta. And she likes to take pictures and she daydreams a lot. So it's like fantasy. The actress's name is Kumiko Oba. And then there's Kung Fu, not karate like Japan, but Kung Fu. Kung Fu is spelled K-U-N-F-U-U.
I like that more. That's more U to the F-U.
She's described as having good reflexes. I forget if that's IMDb or Wikipedia that describes it that way. Actress's name is Miki Junbo, M-I-K-I-J-I-N-B-O. Gary, or Prof, is a nerd, and her name is Ai Matsubara. Then there's Sweet, and she likes to clean. I don't get why Sweet. She is kind of like, I mean, she kind of plays it off as kind of being adorable and likable.
She's the kind one. I get it. But it, like, Sweet interchangeable with doorstop, I guess?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's a sweetheart. Because she likes to do things for other people.
Do you let people treat you like garbage? You are like cotton candy. Look at H-bomb.
I'll let you treat me like garbage because I like to clean. Maseo Miyako is her name. Mac likes to eat. We've met Mac a little bit here.
I am Mac.
Miyako Sato is the actress's name. Melody is a musician. And she is played by Eriko Tanaka. And gorgeous. And they didn't have a description for her on Wikipedia.
She's the pretty one. Do you remember the boy bands of the 90s? There was the bad boy. There was the chubby one. There was the serious one, the older one. And there was like the Justin Timberlake. She's the Justin Timberlake of this group.
100%. But also, Liz, okay, we shared a friend group at this point. When our girlfriends were obsessed with boy bands, do you remember that we shared a friend group at this point? Okay. Do you remember when they, who was not me, became obsessed with certain members of these boy band groups?
Yes.
Do you remember which member?
I wasn't assigned any member.
Okay. And I don't know what this means in social status, but you know who I was always assigned?
The fat one?
Mm-mm.
No, who?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I was assigned the ambiguous one. You know what that translates to now, like 20 years later? The gay one. I always got the gay one because I didn't care. They're just like, who's your guy? And I was like, don't really have a guy.
So when they were assigning you members from NSYNC, you always got Lance Bass?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Yes.
I'm not saying that was a bad thing.
I'm not,
I saw a documentary about, you know, the guy who ran Backstreet Boys in NSYNC, and like Lance Bass was on that, and he was like thoroughly charming. Like, I would be like,
no lie.
Yeah.
Guy is likable.
Yeah.
He would never want to do me. In terms of gay character, whom I love Kung Fu. She's gay-coded. I don't care what you say. And she's my favorite. Let's go on.
Okay.
H-bomb.
Gorgeous's name.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just finish my...
We were doing so good up until the very end.
We were not. Jen can attest.
Kimiko Ikegami is the actress who plays Gorgeous. And she likes inviting friends for quote-unquote summer camp. Which is never good in a horror movie.
Mm. I don't know of any horror movie that's ended well because people went to summer camp.
That's it.
I'm sorry, Jen. I thought we were doing so good, and we weren't. And part of that was my fault. I accept full responsibility.
You know what, though? Mm. I'm going to take all y'all's tales and run through some pages.
Any cat can open a door. Only a witch cat can close a door.
I call that cat shenanigans. That happened on the train while Mac offered a sandwich to a cat. Done.
Yep. Also, when they get off the bus and they're heading, and after this whole like 90s, you know, theme song introduction of the characters.
Yeah, they cross the bridge, then they come to Watermelon Guy.
Oh my goodness. Like he, it's not him. I mean, he's just like whatever. But there is a hollowed out watermelon with like the triangle eyes and the triangle nose and the bottom half cut out. And it's like a jack-o'-melon. And that's the only thing that I take away from this scene. I mean, there's other stuff that happens. Like, Mac picks up a watermelon and the guy's got his head on the table. And then he's like, ooh, I'm being creepy and enigmatic. And that's the house that your aunt lives at. And you look just like your mama.
Gross, gross, gross. Okay.
Seriously.
So, also, did you notice that when they pick up watermelons, they're like painted beach balls?
They're very round. They're not like the watermelons we have here. They're very spheric. And
yeah, no,
here they're like...
They're beach balls painted like watermelons, Lydia. And it makes me mad. Every time you see someone carrying one.
Blech. Right.
Hmm?
So.
One hold on a second.
Blech. Okay. So also, like, as the girls are leaving, the guy, like, you know, takes a hat off a watermelon, puts it on. And he's saying some cryptic stuff like, oh, no, this is not going to end well. And everybody, oh, no, this isn't really going to be good. But then you get this clear view of this jack-o'-melon behind him. And as he's starting to laugh, the jack-o'-melon is starting to laugh. And I love it so much. Like, could you imagine this movie being redone? But it's like a Muppets version of it. And the Muppet work is, and the puppet work is all done by Jim Henson Studio. Tim Burton and Jim Henson Studios.
Tim Burton.
Hence Burton. Henston.
I'll give them all the money. All of it. They end up at the mansion at the top of the hill because of course the f*** it is.
Is that a haunted house on a hill?
No, it's your f***ing aunt's house. Get up there.
Oh, and by the way, like Blanche jumps out of Gorgeous's arms and she goes through the door because any cat can open up a door. And then she gets into the lap of this lady who's just in a wheelchair who's like, oh, why, hello.
Yeah, she seems very delicate and very stupid. And here's the thing. We need to go through so much plot right now.
Oh, it's a lot of steps, Event. Like, yeah. They gather up. So this is basically Gorgeous's aunt. And Fantasy is coming through. It's like, oh, we should take a picture of everybody. And then...
Okay, then the chandelier explodes. A lizard exploded.
The camera jumps. Okay, so this is where we see the cat's eyes glow green. And that's important because we see it. And the camera jumps out of Fantasy's hands. And then it crashes. And she's like, oh. And then the aunt's like, oh, that's so sad. But let's go ahead and go over inside the house. And she's like, please, Mr. Chandelier, turn on. And she pushes a button and the chandelier comes on. And that's when we get the chandelier that's like all pew, 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 pew.
Death rays all around the room. Nearly everyone dies except Kung Fu's in the way. But a lizard dies.
Oh.
And that's our first real fatality of the movie. And then, like, the cat eats the lizard. And that's fun, I guess. I don't know. But then, like, they're like, it's cool.
Yeah.
We're just hanging out with faulty electrical wiring.
And so
I can't stand even one more thing happening, Colonel Mustard says.
And then the chandelier crashes down behind him. So, we get a tour of the entire house. This is where Gorgeous's grandfather practiced medicine.
Yeah, they cut to her auntie's room and there's a quilt nailed to the wall. And I don't know what kind of quilt it is. And I would super like Madeline to tell me. But there are these weird, like, not pinwheeled. That's a specific type of quilt. But there are these circle bits that were very popular in the late 70s, early 80s. And it's nailed to the wall. And I don't know about you and how much you love quilts, but I don't put nails through anything and put them on the wall.
Right.
Okay. But also, the freeze frames make me mad.
Right. There's like some ominous piano music that I think at some point as throughout this tour, because it like goes through the entrance and then it goes into the area where the piano is. And they notice that, oh, this is where the clinic was, where your grandfather, you know, did all this stuff. And then there's like, ah, it's a skeleton, even though it's like one of those plastic skeletons. It's not like an actual skeleton, which I think would be a lot more creepy. But this is a movie on a short budget. So eventually there's like this moment where the aunt is like, everybody's like stops and the aunt like comes in and you get that choppy like frame rate again.
It's a freeze frame. Like they all have, but they all have to hold still while the auntie rolls herself into the frame.
Like claymation.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. Oh, but the best part is in this tour is when the aunt takes them into the kitchen and she opens up a door and you hear it scream like, ah!
She goes, no, don't use the refrigerators on the fritz. Right. You should use the natural refrigerator outside.
Which is a well, and we know that because she talks about like, oh yes, I talk to all of my appliances because I'm so lonely. And then Mac, who's carrying this watermelon, is just sort of like, Mr. Refrigerator, is it all right if I go ahead and put something in?
No, it's on the fritz. Does it not look like a beach ball painted like a watermelon?
Yes.
And you'd have to. If you were supposed to carry it around for that many scenes, it's been 3 or 4 scenes, Lydia.
I'm not arguing with you on that point.
Stupid painting a beach ball to look like a watermelon.
I don't know if that's what they were going to do.
I don't give a crap. She ties it like a watermelon should into a well in the ground. And then we cut to all of the girls being together.
Oh, no. Before we cut to that,
oh, no.
That's when the aunt is outside as Gorgeous and Mac are putting the watermelon into the well. And she's just like, Mac, you look good enough to eat, or some creepy shit like that.
She's so fat. We call her Mac because she's so round. She's like, you look round enough to eat.
Yeah.
And like, she might as well have been like, she totally freaking Silence of the Lambs.
Mac, I will eat your liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Meanwhile, the actress that plays Mac, not really that round or heavy.
No, we see her midriff as she runs out to go put the watermelon in the well.
Oh no, she has an extra inch on her waist. She must be fat.
She looks wonderful.
She looks like all of the other girls.
She looks like every meme that was like, I wish I looked as skinny as when I first thought I looked fat. Yeah.
So.
I'm so sorry. That's so dumb.
That was okay. So dinner.
Well, it's dinner and then also like weird grooming, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the aunt is in a wheelchair. That's important for later.
And then there's this really cute left. Camera, right camera, left camera. It reminds me of Wayne's World.
Yeah. So Sweet is looking at Prof, but you see two shots with Prof that are going back and forth and they look pretty weird. But then it cuts to Sweet and she's like closing one eye and then with one eye open, and then she alternates back and forth. And that's what it's supposed to signify. And that is a really, really nice shot.
It's really cute. Yeah. And again, like 2-3 decades before Wayne's World did it.
Mm-hmm.
Cute AF.
Yeah.
I give that points.
So it's after dinner.
Where's Mac? I gotta go find out where Mac is.
Fantasy's the one who's going to find her. And she's like, I bet she went over to where the watermelon is. And so she goes and she looks at the landscape and the countryside is looking gorgeous. And she's like, oh, it doesn't look like Mac has pulled up the watermelon yet.
I better pull it up while I gaze off into the distance.
And I'm gonna hold up the watermelon with both of my hands. And what do I see?
It's fudging Mac's face being like, Panda.
And Fantasy freaks out.
She flings it into the air and then it falls down as she's about to make a hasty retreat.
But then it falls down on her bottom.
It bites her in the well, like that isn't unfair. But like, it gets so wackadoodle.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of moments in this movie that make me think that we're not supposed to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. So I don't really.
This is the official moment where I was like, am I just supposed to chuck all of this out the window?
Yeah, I wouldn't classify this just as a horror. I would classify it as a horror comedy.
You're not wrong. But also, okay. So we cut back to the kitchen. The auntie gets out of the chair and everyone's like,
dancing. She's dancing.
This isn't her dancey dude.
Oh, no. She does.
She stands up out of her chair and they're like, you can walk? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah,
yep,
she totally
can walk.
Sorry.
Doesn't she say I can walk when I'm like in a good mood or something like that? Or when I feel like dancing or... Thumbdoodle.
Yeah, she mentions that, oh, you girls here have given me all this energy. So.
Okay, so this is where, like, one person throws themselves down. A whole bunch of people go find out where Mac is or her head is. And they don't confirm it because they pull up the string and it's a watermelon instead of Mac's head. But we, as the audience, know that Mac is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at this point, was like, there are so many costume changes in this. Like, just so many. And they're all very, very good. Which I appreciate. It incorporates a lot of aprons.
And Fantasy is talking about a decapitated head. She's freaked out at this point. And she is like, you know, Mac's gone missing. This is a Mac thing, you know. And nobody really believes her. They think that just Mac is out wandering and enjoying her life.
Professor, at this point, pumps a whole bunch of water out of a well into a cup and does not pay attention as the cup fills with blood, which is really like paley red flavored water.
It looks like water that's just been covered with.
But
just
she drinks it without looking, which is super not chill.
Mm. And everybody kind of goes on with their day. Gorgeous takes a bath. Kung Fu is chopping up wood, so that way Gorgeous has like heat for her bath.
Sweet finds herself going to go look at some dolls or some fudge.
She was cleaning up, and then she's like, oh, I should totally get some mattresses out for all of us to sleep on. And she gets sidetracked by a doll. And let's see.
Yeah, the onsen that Gorgeous ends up in looks very, very nice. Like, I would love to go take a nice deep steep in that business. But also, like, hey, Gorgeous, you lost a member. Maybe you don't spend so much time in there. Maybe you don't spend so much time in there.
Right. And also, Professor and Fantasy are cleaning up dishes. Because I think it's like, as all of these other things are happening, Kung Fu gets attacked.
Mm.
And
by the lumber. The lumber battle, which is nice.
She loses her skirt, which she's got.
I don't care about her skirt. I super forget. Look, she has a.
It's like a bathing suit, like a bikini bottom.
Yeah, she has a. What do you call this?
Tank top?
Yeah, but like a man's tank top is what you'd call it. We used to call it a wife beater, but that's stupid. Stupid now. Don't call it a wife beater. It's just a tank top. She's wearing a skirt, but then the battle with the wood, her skirt flies off. And she's like, wah! And then she has it back at the end, but she never puts it on again. Right?
Right.
But also, like, our first nude scene happens.
Right. Gorgeous is taking a bath, mm-hmm. and she is, you know, just kind of like enjoying her time. Kung Fu is cutting up the wood so that way she has heat. And we see this like creepy approach of hair kind of like get onto her.
Yeah, it's a weird seedweed in the onsen until it's like on her.
Right. But then it like as soon as it tries to get on her, it just like backs off. Like she's not something that she's not available to be eaten by the house, that sort of thing. Oh, and so like I mentioned Professor. And Fantasy cleaning up the dishes. Sweets is cleaning up some of the floor. And Melody is playing music.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is the part where Auntie dances into the refrigerator.
Yeah, she comes up and she's just dancing. Like,
and they're like, oh, you're so charming when you're dancing. Professor turns away. And then
Fantasy's the one who sees her like dance into the fridge. And she's like,
oh, she just danced into the fridge right now. And right. Professor's like, no, she didn't. They turn. And then we see Auntie dancing on the beam to the side, and she takes off her shoes, and she's a complete and no parts missing douchebag.
Right. But like when Professor opens up the fridge, you can see very clearly that there isn't anything there. So like for whatever reason, Fantasy is being portrayed as the like the one who's going crazy, even though she's the one who sees it all.
Okay, then we cut to some goldfish.
Right, so Auntie goes ahead and she's dancing and she's having the time of her life. She's dancing with a skeleton. She's like concocting some different stuff. She's like eating a goldfish and then putting it. She's like eating a dead goldfish and then putting it back into
the. It do look like a shrimp.
Yeah, and.
But then she's tired because the sun comes up.
Well, she's had a busy night.
Off motion here.
Yeah. So, and we also see her like eating up. Oh, did we skip the part where they were eating the watermelon? I think we skipped the part where they were eating the watermelon.
Hold on.
Yeah, we did, because it was before they start cleaning it up. They pull out the watermelon, and they cut it up, and it's all of them together, and Fantasy looks over at the ant, and the ant's, like, eating a watermelon with a spoon.
Which is gross and stupid.
And then as she's, like, eating it, she, like, pops open her mouth a little bit to have this eye pop out, and only Fantasy can see it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, but I'm missing the point of order.
Right. It was like watermelon. Mac's head is watermelon, which turns to eyeball. Sweets cleans up and gets eaten by Beds. Gorgeous takes bath. Kung Fu is attacked. Fantasy sees it all and is going crazy. Creepy Ann is having the time of her life. These are my notes. These are my notes, applauders. Hope you enjoy them.
I'm lost in my notes. Okay, yes. I know. Like, yes, look, I'm so sorry. I'm trying real hard, but like, okay, so we had onsen dash nice, nude scene, awesome. Kung Fu lumber battle, awesome. Auntie dancing into the fridge. Is she a cat? Because she turns and looks at the camera like, meow. And then like, the goldfish in the bowl is life. And then she's sleepy. Weird white mom's room. Welcome to the Black Parade.
Right. So like pretty much after we see the aunt having like this little dance session with the skeleton, because she has a little dance session with the skeleton and it's fun. We see Gorgeous get out of the bath and she goes up to this area where it's got this, I think I'm saying it right, armoire. And she is like putting on lipstick.
My notes say lipstick that is so freaking old.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to keep lipstick for less than 6 months.
Right.
This lipstick is no less than 8 years old.
And Gorgeous kind of, you know, is like looking at the mirror, and then the mirror turns into the aunt, and then the mirror turns into the mom.
And then this is where the mom shows up with like fangs, and I call it Momster.
Yes. And then Gorgeous like has like aspects of her face just fall off, kind of like a broken mirror.
Her mom turns into fire because of broken glass something, and then she turns into fire, so she's not even fire whatever now.
Right.
Witches, cats, and doors is my next.
I say with Gorgeous, Sweet, and Melody gone. And I really thought that Melody was gone at this point. Melody's still playing on the piano.
Yeah. We're at number two death. Guess who dies?
Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet.
Because like Melody screams out like, oh, I'm in pain. Cause she felt like she's playing on the piano,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like the piano bit her. And so Prof and Kung Fu go over to Melody, and then they tell Fantasy, they hear Sweet scream, and they were like, you should go and check on her. And so, Fantasy's just like, by myself. And they're like, yes, by yourself. So she goes over and she sees where the mattresses are in her search for Sweet, and she sees the mattresses like doing the whole like rawr
thing. Interesting only because there's not only like regular mattresses, but then when you sleep on a Tommy mat, you have a different kind of mattress, like a rolled up super thick bedding that you lay on the ground, and she's also attacked by them, and it feels very specific to a culture we don't live in.
Right. And so she's getting attacked, and also there's this doll there that's kind of like entrancing her and everything.
Mm-hmm. She's been obsessed with it for like two or three scenes.
Yeah. So that's when Fantasy sees her getting attacked. We see her like getting attacked, and then Fantasy sees her getting attacked, and then she goes over and she's like, oh, we gotta get these people.
After they're wrapping up Melody's fingers, and she's like, I thought the thing was biting me. I thought the piano was biting my fingers. But it's not biting her fingers. They were like kind of putting on the bandages cosmetically.
Right.
Is what it came across as.
The piano tasted human blood.
So they chase after the three of them.
Yeah,
start to chase after.
So Fantasy is screaming over by the mattresses. Uh-huh. Prof and Kung Fu come over to it.
Melody's
like,
going to go, but then her stomach goes.
Mm-hmm. And Fantasy's like, oh, it was eating sweets. And they're like, no, that's impossible because they're mattresses. And then they go searching and they don't see any blood, mm-hmm. but they do see her clothes are missing.
Oh, doesn't someone hold up her panties and swirl them around on her finger like a super creep?
It is super creepy. But then they hear Melody screaming and they're like, again, Fantasy, go after her.
So Fantasy walks into the house and she's super creeped out. And then she sees like this hand like from the bathroom door. And she's like, oh, no. And then this face perks out and it's like, toilet paper.
And it's Melody's face.
Yeah.
And I know this has some cultural. I know this has cultural significance but I know it has cultural significance in Japan. The cultural significance in my life as a white older American woman is from Majora's Mask, where you go over to that inn where you can oust the Goron from his room, and you can go ahead and give like this piece of paper to a hand, and then it gives you a heart container, or it gives you like a heart piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched that on Shantytown. And that's the only reason I would know at all is that you're compassionate to the toilet ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Okay.
In Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, you have another encounter with the toilet ghost, but instead it's like more romantic.
No.
Yeah.
You cannot, Lydia.
It's kind
I love you.
I know.
Don't get romantic with the toilet ghost.
I don't get romantic with the toilet ghost, but I do give a love letter to the toilet ghost. And then the guy who wrote the love letter is now enthralled by the enthralled by the toilet ghost. It's kind of it's a little bit bad because, like, okay, so but the guy's like a bully, but still it's like it's weird. It's a weird moment in Skyward Sword, and it's another one of those things that just makes me go, oh, I don't know how I feel about this game.
Hey,
where is everyone?
We pan past a birdcage that doesn't have a bird in it
because Blanche ate it.
Because I believe the cat Blanche. And that's headcanon for you guys who are never going to watch this movie. Okay, so toilet troubles, creepy beckon, Asian humor is what my note says. We don't get it.
Yeah.
I say that we don't get it. There are certain parts that are like, ha ha ha, that's super funny. But also, there are aspects of a different culture's humor that we are unable to ascertain.
Agreed.
You can, if you applauders would like to look at any kind, like, Google most popular game show moments, funny Japan, and then tell me how you feel about it. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be funny, but not in the right way. Because if you're American, and that's, I assume, a lot of people, but maybe not. Look. I just don't.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of that was slap fisted at me, and I didn't get it.
Correct. Also, where's everyone? Where's Mac? Where's Sweet? Where's
Mac is
Gorgeous?
Mac was dead like so long ago.
See, like, Fantasy knows that. Nobody else does. We got like seven girls who came into this house. And at this point, we only have four left.
Well, we have two dead. Two confirmed dead.
Right. But then we find that Gorgeous isn't actually dead. She is. She comes down in this white getup and a white dress. It's not a getup, it's a full-on dress.
Yeah, Fantasy has a moment where she's like, don't worry, Professor Togo will come to us, Teacher Togo will come to us, and she has a whole fantasy sequence. And then we see freaking fracking double smacking Gorgeous wanders, is like, I'll go outside, and she wanders into the garden and she starts juggling.
Before that, they're like, we should contact the police because we got missing people now, we need to contact the police. And Gorgeous is like, oh, I'll go ahead and call them. And as she's coming down the stairs with her friends around her, you get that choppy frame rate again.
Yeah, you know she's not right in the head hole,
right? So she picks up the phone, which is like an old-timey, like, 1940s phone where you gotta, like, crank it in order to get to someone, and she puts it up to her ear, and, like, nobody else in the scene except for Gorgeous hears this, but we hear it as the audience, where you hear all of these cries for help. And this is the first real instance where we know that maybe the house is eating people. And so she picks up the phone. She's like, oh, it's not working. Convenient. And so she puts it on. She's like, I'm going to go and get the police. Bye.
Yes, that's
right.
And
then she walks out of the house. And then everybody else is like, can we get out of the house? No, you can't, because she locked it behind her.
We're finally getting into some actual spoopy plot now, a plotter. Thank you for joining us for part two of our review of 1977's House. We can't wait to bring you the conclusion of our walkthrough, along with our shocked and applaudable moments, next week in part three. Hey, this is your audio engineer and laughing skeleton musician playing the bones, Jen. Did you know that Shocked and Applaud has new stickers? If you'd like to give a few to your nerdy film friends, let us know a good snail mail address for you by emailing us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com. You can now also contact us through our website at shockedandapplaud.com. We'll be back in 1 week for our conclusion to this amazingly complex and cinematic, perfectly understandable by Western audiences, Japanese horror comedy. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.